When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back at the Treasure Chest Casino after our Thanksgiving break. Steve Geller, Mike Dettelier bring you till 7 o'clock. We're Thursday night football, and we got a good one tonight, folks, when the Green Bay Packers take on the Detroit Lions. Big NFC North matchup. Looking forward to that this evening. Also got a great show today for you. Coming up after the first break, Super Bowl champ and Saints pregame and postgame analyst Scott Shanley will be joining us. 5 o'clock hour, getting into some more college football talk. Ross Dellinger, who covers college football for Yahoo Sports, and also Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of the Are You Serious Sports Network. The 6 o'clock hour, get a little bit of a Giants preview as the Saints get ready to take them on Sunday afternoon. Ryan Novinsky, the New York Giants beat reporter for NJ.com, will preview the G-Men. Tough start for them this season, obviously 2-10. Both those wins have been on the road, too. They haven't even won a single game yet in MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, the people are very happy with them. If you're in New York, boy, you in the tanker. The Jets and the Giants, but man, the Giants, longtime fans there that have pulled for them for so many years. This was at one time a storied franchise, you know, with Bill Parcells ran this show. And man, look what's happened now. It has hit literally rock bottom.
Even our Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak grew up in the Northeast too. He's a Giants fan, and he feels like Tom Coughlin must have sold his soul to the devil for those two Super Bowls.
Yeah, and you know, man, you think about what Parcells did, and then that was a little low, and then Coach Coughlin comes in, he does a great job. Eli Manning,
right?
You know, and it was supposed to be 18 and and then was 18 and right? Because they beat the Patriots on Super Bowl Sunday and spoiled the Patriots' shot at an undefeated season. That's about the closest we've seen it since the Dolphins did it in the early 70s. But man. And you think about, you lose your best player too, Dexter Lawrence. He was a man out there on the field.
Yes, indeed.
And you know, I talked to Pete Jenkins about him because he had worked with Pete. Pete was like, "Mike, I ain't seen one guy that's that big, that fast, that strong can play football, and how well he can rush the quarterback for a guy that's basically an interior player." He was an unbelievable athlete, and you lose him to a dislocated elbow, so. Their defense has been lousy all year long. Offensively, yeah, you got Malik Nabers. He's had the dropsies, though, this year. I think it's either 9 or 10 he's had throughout the season. He wasn't like that at LSU. I don't know. Maybe he just wants to make a big play so bad he's not concentrating well.
Probably,
and
yeah.
And then, you know, running back, the young rookie from Purdue.
Tyrone Tracy, yeah.
And he's pretty good. Now, again, he got ball issues, too. In that he sort of – that ball's coming out a lot of times and for fumble-wise. So, you know, when you've got Drew Locke and Tommy DeVito and you lose your best offensive lineman early in the year and Andrew Thomas, you got issues. I don't know how Brian Daboll survives. I really don't. I know he's been given that dreaded kiss of death that, you know, "I believe in you, kid. You know, you're coming back next year." Yeah, I got to see it to believe it, too.
It's like, yeah, get those bags and boxes ready, dear. Sorry, it looks like we'll be heading out of town.
Yeah, you bet for rent. No own.
Looking at, Mike, the injury report, you heard Charlie Long in the Sports Flash talking about it. Positive news, Cesar Ruiz dealing with the concussion, didn't practice yesterday, but was upgraded to limited today. So, you know, he's
that's
in that
good.
Concussion protocol. Maybe that's moving along, and maybe there is a chance he suits up Sunday.
Yeah, I'd be careful with it, but
right.
At least this is encouraging. Because when you get a concussion, it depends on the severity of it. And, you know, we've got a guy that works here. He can go in detail about concussions, and he's had the real bad ones, and he's had ones that, you know, he was able to get over pretty quickly after a couple of days. So you're always careful, especially in today's world, with the concussion issues. But the fact that Cesar was back at practice, limited, is a good sign for him health-wise.
Not so good, Mike. Unfortunately, limited yesterday was Bub Means as he was coming back from that ankle issue and must have suffered a setback because he did not participate in practice today. Other than that, the Saints injury report did not change from yesterday.
Yeah, and that's good because, you know, Kendra Miller was a full participant.
Gonna need him.
No, they need him. You know, without Taysom Hill, come on, show us what you can do. We know you're talented. Show us what you can do out on the field. And stay healthy. It don't do the Saints any good for you to have potential. Potential means you haven't done anything. Go out there, and I know you can do it. I know you can do it, but you got to stay healthy. And he gives you an element from a speed power standpoint that's he's a really talented back, to be honest with you, who has had injury problems and then certainly friction. With the former head coach and Dennis Allen. And listen, I'd be sort of frictional myself. You're not helping me. You know, my job's on the line, and we picked you in round three. You're supposed to help here. He hasn't been on the field much.
We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino to stop by and say hey as we get ready to count down to Thursday night football. We're going to take a break when we get back. Joining us will be Super Bowl champ and Saints pregame, postgame analyst Scott Shanley right here on WWL. Stay tuned. Back here at the Treasure Chest Casino as we get ready for Thursday night football, 7 o'clock. We got the Lions taking on the Packers tonight. Come on in. Place your bets at the sports book right next to us. We're inside the Game Bar and Grill. Happy to welcome in now Super Bowl champ and Saints pregame. Game and post game host Scott Shanley. Scott, how you been doing, man? How was your Thanksgiving?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanksgiving was great. Anytime you get the family together and the kids together, watch some football and hang out and chat, it's always good.
Scott, before we get into the NFL stuff, I'm going to ask you about, you know, yesterday was National Signing Day in college football and how the landscape has so dramatically changed. Brian Kelly, he bucked like a bad mule. About getting involved with this kind of pay-for-play. And, that's not how I'm going to build a team. I'm going to do it through high school recruiting and all this. That didn't last too long. How this has changed so dramatically throughout the years and recruiting, and it is whoever got the bucks are going to get the top players. I think that's become evident today.
Yeah, there's no question. NIL has dramatically changed college football. And I think, you know, honestly, it's really taken away from signing day. You know, there was a time in the past where you would go through those signees, those 20 kids, you look at their profiles or their bios, and you would, most of them, you would watch go from freshman to junior, senior year, and you would kind of follow them. And I feel like now that you know, most people don't even pay attention to who signs out of high school because they're like, you know what, 75% of these kids are going to be in the portal anyway at some point. So it's almost like people don't really care about the initial signings. It's exciting for a little bit. But I think in this day and age, you know, I was talking to a college coach, and he's now in the NFL because he got out of college ball. He just hated what NIL did because he said, listen, if I have a kid who's a backup, he's going to hit the portal because he wants to play. If I have a kid who's a starter, he's going to go test the portal to see how much money he can get. He's like, it puts college coaches in a weird position the way the NIL landscape has changed college football for those guys.
Yes, damn if you do, damn if you don't. The transformation we see, Steve Gallagher like this because Zach Bond, what he's done for the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, he was a bit player here with the Saints, played a lot of special teams. All of a sudden now, he's a star player for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I do know Bob and I, his old buddy, Vic Fangio, he knew how to use him. And how unusual is that to see a guy who was really he wasn't a starter by any stretch, and he wasn't even the first guy off the bench. And to develop like this, right place, right time, right scheme.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, for one, Zach's in the prime of his career. A lot of times guys really hit the prime of their career after their fourth year. 3 or 4 years, you start learning the game, you start learning those things, and it's all about opportunity. And I think for Zach, you know, he was pegged as this edge rusher. Well, that's all he can do. The only thing he can do is edge rush. So he has to set the edge of the line of scrimmage or he can rush the passer. And I think in New Orleans, that's all they really utilize him for. And credit to Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know what it is about Philly and free agents. They somehow are one of the only teams that gets free agents to play better when they go there, especially when it's Saints players. I mean, Malcolm went there with an all-pro safety. And you look at Zach, and I think credit to them for realizing that he had more of a skill set than what, you know, they did in New Orleans, and I think that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, a little bit of it, I can relate with Zach, because when I was in Dallas, we played the 3-4, and I didn't fit 3-4 that well, what Coach Parcells had me doing. Got traded to a 4-3 defense in New Orleans, and ended up being a starter for a number of years and playing weak side linebacker. So a lot of times your career can be dictated by what type of fit and what coach is seeing you and the opportunities they're giving you to do. So credit to those guys. They're giving Zach an opportunity to make a lot of plays.
Scott, what you brought up, it popped in my head. The Jets didn't think Jonathan Vilma was that good, and they dealt him off to the Saints. Maybe the best trade in the history of this franchise to get Jonathan Vilma for a couple draft picks when the Jets said, you know, he doesn't fit well here. We're going to send him off.
Yeah, and you know, and he did fit well. He didn't fit in New York, and JV would be the first to tell you, like, I hated playing inside back in that 3-4 because, you know what, he wasn't built to do that. And his skill set didn't get to be exposed. It'd be no different than if you took a tremendous edge rusher and tried to make him be a stand-up linebacker. He would struggle. It's all about finding what your players do well and putting them in position to succeed. And the Jets were, you know, they said, we're going to run a 3-4 no matter what. And you either fit in or fit out. And they traded Jonathan. He was a great fit for what we were doing schematically under Greg Williams in our 4-3 defense, our multiple packages. And the success we had would never have happened. You're right. Without Vilma there and what he brought to our defense and his football IQ and his ability to get us in and out of audibles on defense, especially in the Super Bowl against Manning, it was unparalleled.
Scott, when you look at this Saints squad right now, they're not out of it by any, you know, any means right now in this wild NFC South. The Falcons and the Buccaneers sitting 6-6, Saints 4-8. The chances of them, you know, being able to overtake both of those teams is unlikely, but still possible. But what are something that you're looking forward to from this team in this final 5-game stretch for them? What do you want to see this team close out?
Yeah, I just, you know, there's a lot of guys who, you know, quietly have had good years that, you know, stayed healthy. You know, Peyton Turner, he stayed healthy as long as he could. There's a lot of guys like Peyton. Kendre Miller will be back, I think, at some point. He's a guy that you haven't seen much of. So there's guys on this roster that you need to see, are they going to be in our future or even next year? You know, short-term plans, long-term plans. So you're watching those individual efforts. Trevor Penning has had a heck of a year compared to, you know, he was a big concern coming out of training camp. So you continue to watch those young players because obviously it's your organization is going to go through some change this offseason, we assume, unless Coach Rizzi takes over. But even if Coach Rizzi gets the job because they win a bunch of games to end this year, there's still going to be change, you know, with assistant coaches. So I think what I'm looking for is these young guys, the guys who are the cornerstones of the organization, no matter who the head coach is, no matter who the OC and DC are, just kind of watching their development and progress because, you know, Atlanta gave you a gift last week and you just didn't take advantage of it, which was unfortunate because you could have really jumped back into this NFC South race. Now I think you're at about maybe a 5-7% chance to actually win it. You're going to need a lot of help. But there's still some things to watch for as the season ends going into next year.
Scott, you look at the NFC North and it's unprecedented in NFL history. There's never been three teams in a division at this early stage that have 9 wins or more. I mean, you say, whoa, at one time, you know, you had one good team out of that, maybe the Packers, because the Lions, they were bad for so long. The Bears had a little bit of a run, but not much. The Vikings, they've been riding the roller coaster. So the Packers been the consistent team because, you know, they went from Favre to Rodgers, and now they got Jordan Love. But now you got 3 in one division. That's remarkable to me today. And I think a lot of people don't kind of grasp
just how difficult that is to have 9 wins or more for 3 teams this early in the season.
Yeah, it is crazy. And, you know, as good as the Lions have been playing, and they would be my pick to go to the Super Bowl, the NFC. I know they're banged up right now, but heck, they're not even a lock to win their division. I mean, the Vikings are right on their heels. They play the Packers tonight on Thursday night game. So as good as the Lions have played this year, and they're kind of everybody's NFC favorite to go to the Super Bowl, they may not even win the division. So they have to finish the season strong despite all the injuries. Those teams have played a lot of really good football. The floor is in a heck of a job. The Packers organization has kind of been the blueprint for what you do at the quarterback position. You just draft guys, hold them around, let them learn, and hopefully they can take off. And in those 2, 3, or 4 years that are on your roster, you don't like what you see, you draft another one. And so I think that's why the Packers have had a lot of success. And then you'd be hard-pressed to not say O'Connell with the Vikings as the coach of the year, him or Sean Payton. I mean, what they've done with their quarterback position going into this season – it's been remarkable what the Vikings have been able to do. I thought they would be one of the worst teams in their division, and every week they just find a way to win.
Scott, the thing that has changed in the NFL, and maybe you can tell the fans, at the off linebacker position today, and how that has dramatically changed. Now I see, you know, in scouting players, unless you can rush the quarterback, they all look like pumped up safeties. Okay, they're not the 240-pound guy. They're more the 225 to 230 guy, and some of them, I don't know if they're even 225. How that has dramatically changed because the offense has spread you out. If I'm offensively seeing that, you trying to do it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run the damn ball at you. Because you know what? You got smaller, and I can play big boy football against you.
There's no question. I think everything comes full circle because of that. You know, for early 2000s, you had 4-3 and 3-4 defense meant something because you were playing against 21 personnel or 12 personnel with a fullback or two tight ends on the field. And you don't see that as much. It's a lot of 11 personnel with one back, one tight end, 3 receivers. Well, when you get in those formations, you better get into nickel type or dime type defenses. And you're right. The tweener guys who used to be, laughed at during the draft process, like, we don't know what to do with you. Those guys are now getting drafted, the big safeties, the undersized linebackers who can move, and then if your skill set is rushing the passer, we're going to put you up on the edge of the line of scrimmage in passing situations. I always laugh because Micah Parsons, heck, he's one of the best defensive players in the league, and Penn State, even in college, couldn't figure out he could rush the passer. He was an off-the-ball linebacker. So some of these guys, it's about putting them in position. The game in the NFL is always about matchups. And you always match up based on what the offense is doing. But I do agree with you. There's going to come a time where everybody's going to have a fullback back on their roster, and they're going to play some big boy bully ball, and the defense is going to have to adjust.
Looking at the Saints again, Cam Jordan has been selected for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award for the Black and Gold. Just what was Cam like to be around in the locker room? Because we know how much fun this guy is with the media, and we see the work he's doing in the community. Just seems to be this constant ball of energy, and I just wonder how he's able to maintain that.
Yeah, I mean, Cam is the same guy now that he was when they drafted him, and he has a fountain of youth about him, a smile that just invigorates the room, and great in any locker room. And I'll never forget when they drafted Cam, and we were sitting in the linebackers meeting room, and Joe Vitt, who'd been in the league for 30 years, and he looks at us dead serious, the linebackers, the veteran guys, he says, "Guys, did we mess up drafting this guy?" And we're like, "What are you talking about, Joe?" He's like, "He's just always messing around. He never takes anything serious." And we're like, "Well, Joe, that's just Cam, but watch the tape. Look what he's doing in practice. He's rushing the passer. He's stopping the run, and that's just Cam. I mean, he's able to be a highly productive football player. While, you know, some people are like, well, he's not taking it serious. He's ultra competitive. And I think Cam's just one of those special players who his ability, and I said this, you know, probably 5, 6, 7 years ago in his prime when he was really double-digit sacks and coming on. Like, he wasn't just about rushing the passer. He stopped the run equally well as well. And now he's the all-time sack leader in Saints franchise history with all those great players. Look at the Dome Patrol. But, yeah, Cam is Cam, and he's going to be that way. He's going to make a great media personality when it's all said and done, that's for sure.
No question about it, Scott. Scott, last question for you is, you see the rookie quarterbacks, the impact they've had. And I say this often, what we saw with C.J. Stroud last year is a bit of an anomaly. You don't normally see a rookie quarterback that he plays like a veteran. And then this year, We see it with Jaden Daniels, with the Commanders. How Sean has kind of reined in Bo Nix and how efficient he has been with the Broncos. Caleb Williams has played like a rookie. Some games good, some bad. I'm surprised, too. Drake May, over the last few weeks, he's played pretty doggone good, too. And in your time, you rarely saw a rookie that could get in there and make that type of impact that quickly. It was the learning curve. Now, you're seeing a guy like Daniels come into this league, and you say, that guy's just a rookie playing today? And how big of a jump that is from college football to the NFL?
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys are more prepared. Now, there's a huge difference between college offenses and the NFL offense, but there's also a lot of carryover, too. And I think more than ever, you even go back to high school now, teams are running spread offense. So a lot of these quarterbacks have been prepped for the ability to make NFL throws because of the offenses they've been running. It doesn't really surprise me that a lot of these guys play early. A lot of, you want to protect them, because I think if you get a guy hit too many times early in his career, it can speed up their clock and damage their rhythm and timing. But I always say it's not so much the first year. I think you can do some good things the first year. I always judge a guy by their second year, because now teams throughout the league have had a whole offseason to study your weaknesses. Now, how do you play in that sophomore year to see, when everybody knows what your strengths and weaknesses are? I think that's when you can kind of identify whether or not you hit a home run on the quarterback or not. But, more and more, they are drafting guys and saying, you're playing, because the NFL rookie scale has changed dramatically. So you want to find out right away whether or not you hit a home run on your draft pick. And a lot of these teams and fans want to see those guys out there playing early.
Always great stuff, Scott. Appreciate your time. Have a good one, my man.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. Yep, no problem. Take care.
Saints Super Bowl champion and pregame and postgame analyst for them, Scott Shanley, joining us there. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino getting ready for Thursday night football. 7 o'clock, we've been talking about it. Detroit Lions taking on the Green Bay Packers. Man, oh, man, we got a little bit of early playoff action football starting for us this evening. They got a good one on Amazon tonight.
Yeah, and they'll have that line to see who the people like to bet over here real quickly.
Taking a break. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned right here on WWL Sports Talk.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino at the Game Bar and Grill. Stop by, say hey, play some bets for this weekend's action, plus tonight's game, Thursday Night Football, Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers. We had a big national signing day, obviously, yesterday, Mike, but big news today for LSU, well, for Mason Taylor, really, declaring for the NFL draft. Sure going to miss that tight end in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and no surprise, you know, that Mason would come out. And he gives you that big guy over the middle, and he's got enough speed. You know, he can stretch you vertically. And so understand why he's become a more physical inline blocker. That was something Coach Kelly and I had spoke about, and he was like, I think he's getting much better with that. For me, I have him as a second-round pick grade, 47th overall guy. I have two tight ends going in round one, and that would be Colston Loveland, who's at Michigan. Man, if they had a quarterback, that dude would be at like 60, 70 catches. He's really good. And Tyler Warren from Penn State, who's, I guess he's college football's version of Taysom Hill. He plays halfback, fullback, tight end. He's actually snapped. He's played some quarterback. He plays on special teams. And so, you know, I think the world of Mason, and I go back, man, I scouted his dad, Jason,
right,
when he came out. And Jimmy Johnson made good with that with that pick, and he ends up in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. So, and congratulations to Mason. He left the tight end position much better than when he took it.
Yeah.
And my thing is, he has opened the door for players to say, I want to go to LSU and play tight end. Name me another dude like that. There is none.
Right.
Mason did it. And how they utilize his skill set as a receiver, and he'll always be remembered, that two-point play against Alabama.
For sure.
Getting that pass from Jaden Daniels and talking to Jaden about it. He's like, I knew he was open. I just said, man, I hope the ball don't sail on me. And he said he made the catch and got in. So I think Mason Taylor, early in day two, he'll hear his name called, and one hell of a football player. And, again, he's the catalyst for what I think you're going to see tight end usage at LSU in the future. Had to always be a first, and it's him.
We're going to check in with our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can chime in, 504-260-1870. See, Greg the Fireman's on hold. What you got for us today, Greg?
Hey, Mike, how you been?
I'm good, buddy. How you been?
Doing good. I have a question for you. I heard a rumor that Walker Howard is going to transfer to the Raging Cajuns. Have you heard anything along those lines? Because I can't find anything online about it.
I have not heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me. He's not playing. He's not playing at Ole Miss. I mean, you got to get out, and you got to find a place. I didn't think that was a good fit when he left, to be honest with you. And I knew the way Kiffin was. He was always looking for bigger game, and he always does. So for him to leave, I don't think he'll be there next year. But it'll be interesting a move if he goes to the Raging Cajuns. Where I would want to go is a place that I think I can start immediately, and I can come in and do the spring drill stuff. So Walker's got some talent now. He can throw the football pretty well. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's very accurate in that short intermediate part of the game.
I have another question for you. During the kick return that Aaron Anderson did, at the very end, he had two great blocks. Josh Williams threw one. The second block that the finish set out was by number 8, but I don't know if it was Major Burns or Joel.
I think it's Major Burns that threw that block. And, I think about Aaron and what a big jump he's made this season. And we hadn't seen him as a kickoff guy, and then all of a sudden he takes off. Man, he's electric with the ball in his hands, and he has decided he's going to come back and play another season at LSU. But when you make a run like that, you need downfield blocking, and he got it. Not only late, he got it early, because if you watch how the seam opened up, and it opened up quickly, and he just let his speed do the talking. But that was some really good blocking on that play. And I know Coach Nagel, he was happy about seeing that. Now he's not at LSU no more. He's going to join Willie Fritz at Houston, be the new offensive coordinator there. But, yeah, Greg, that was some really good blocking on that play. And if you watch it early, how it just opens up like the Red Sea for him to run through, and then he got a couple blocks late.
Mike, was Walker Howard ever attending the Manning Passing Academy?
Yeah, he came.
Okay.
He came a year. He sure did. He sure did. In fact, his dad was there, Jamie.
Okay.
Yeah, former LSU quarterback, yeah, too.
We're going to take a break, and when we return, get more into sports talk as we get ready for Thursday night football. We got a good one tonight. Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers. We'll be back right after this break, so stay tuned at the Treasure Chest Casino right here on WWL. And we are back at the Treasure Chest Casino as we count down to Thursday night football. Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers getting ready. Also, I want to remind everybody, if you're looking for the Pelicans game this evening, it's a 7 o'clock tip-off on 870 a.m., 6:30 pregame coverage as the Pellies get ready to take on the Phoenix Suns. Good news for them. Herb Jones, Brandon Ingram, Eves Missy were questionable. They are available for tonight's game. So
you got that in writing?
I'm seeing that the Pels sent it out, so I'm
trusting
them.
Reading it in
writing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So at least some of the, you know, the depleted roster is starting to come back for this team because, man, oh, man, Mike, they've dug themselves into such a pit early on, and you want to see, obviously, them start to develop and get better, but this roster has been so lacking in talent. Good to see some of those big names coming back. Hopefully they stick around. It's been brutal for the Pels this season.
You used the right term. Brutal, and something needs to put the jumper cables on the battery at this stage. And you know, until I, because there's some apathy out there for Pelicans, and that's the worst thing to happen. No, they bitch and complain about you. At least you getting talked about. Man, we get some of these texts. Why are y'all talking about the Pelicans? You know, and so you got to understand when that sort of thing sets off.
Yeah.
Sometimes changes occur.
Right. Everybody cares about a winner.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. Man, I don't want to hear about your problems. I got my own problems.
Exactly.
So to speak.
We are taking a break for the top of the hour news right here. When we get back in the 5 o'clock hour, a lot of college football. Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports college football writer, also Blake Ruffino, of CEO of RU Serious Sports, will join us right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.